Go to Jeremiah 13. I have to share this because I don't have to, but I want to. I never saw this record until Joyce shared it once, and I'd never seen it before, and it just blessed the heck out of me. This is all in light of following, you know, obeying, believing, trusting, all that. And in Jeremiah 13, let's just enjoy this together because this is really a great record. Thus saith the Lord unto me. So you got the picture. God is telling him, right? Now, you know, when the written word of God speaks, it's just like God speaking because it was inspired by who? So one thing that a lot of these records, they didn't have the written word like we do. And we could say, well, oh, we're at a disadvantage. I would say we're at an advantage because we do have the written word and we can carry with us. You know, a lot of you guys have Bibles on the phone and all that stuff. So I think it's pretty good. But here again, thus saith the Lord unto me. Now, I'm going to embellish a little on this record because it's really funny. But go and get thee a linen girdle. Now that right now is funny to me. But you have to understand the lands and the times of the Bible. I understand this. So go get a linen girdle and put it upon thy loins and put it not in water. I don't understand that part. If you're putting it upon your loins, where do you think, how would he put it in water? I don't know. Use your imagination. So, what did Jeremiah do? He got a girdle. According to what? And I put it on my loins. God told him to do that. Put the girdle on the loins. Am I right? And the word of the Lord came to me a second time. You know what? God ain't going to come to you too often times a second time until you do what he says the first time. So, the word of the Lord came unto me a second time. Yahoo! Take the girdle, which thou's got, which is upon thy loins. Oh, there's those words again. And arise and what? Go to Euphrates and hide it there in a hole of the rock. I don't know about you. There's no Oriental custom that, you know, has this. No bishop books. This wasn't a custom that they did. Get a loin, linen loin, linen. Got to be linen. Don't put any water on it. Go to Euphrates. It was a long way. I mean, we're not talking about going to Quick Check, you know what I'm saying? Even if it was from here to that bathroom, I don't know what I would do with my mind. So I went, and I hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord did what? So he did what God told him. He went, and he hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. So he did exactly what he was told, even though it was probably a pretty odd thing. It came to pass after how many, Dean? Many days. In Espanol? Muchos días. After many what? That the Lord said unto me, here it is again, arise, go to where? Go back and take the girdle thence from which I commanded thee to hide there. So, you got to understand, put yourself there. This wasn't like a... Jeremiah knew God's voice. There's no question. They had conversations all the time, but never did they have the girdle conversation before. It might have seemed a bit odd, but Jeremiah trusted in God. So he went to Euphrates, like he said, and he digged. Yeah, he dug in there, and he took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. So here he is. He goes to the rock and he digs it out.
You know. So
he goes there, he looks at it, and he realizes, this is worthless. This, back to the story. Then the word of the Lord came again. And you notice, it's always after he did what God said that God would come back to him and talk to him. Now, what was he thinking during those many days? He puts a girdle on, linen, no water. He went to Euphrates. He put it in a rock, came home. Many days. He knows it was God that told him this. Then God, you know, he's probably waiting for some kind of answer. He says, go get it. He goes, gets it. It's a mess. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to what? Hear my words. God doesn't like that. He wants us to hear his words. He wants us to accept him. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their own heart. Some people say this is stubbornness. Maybe it is. But they walk in their own sparks. They walk in their own heart. It's used a lot of different ways in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Again, walking away from the Word of God is not profitable. It's not good. Walk in the imagination of their own heart and walk after other gods. Holy smokes, that's not good. That's the first commandment, you know. Not have any other gods before you. And walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them shall even be as this stinking girdle, which is good for what? There's the prophet. Jeremiah was such a kind man. He cared so much about Israel. He cared about, you know, what we call the believers. He saw them not walking. He just didn't want to, you know. So God tells him to get a girdle, put it in a rock. Many days go by, he goes back, and the girdle's a mess. It's profitable for nothing. You're not going to be wearing that girdle anymore. And God shows him the profit of why he did that. He used it as an example of Israel walking away from the word of God and serving other gods, and that they were profitable at that particular point for nothing. So that's a bonus one there. Second Kings. Chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Assyria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Here describes Naaman as a great man. He was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master, honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance. See that? By him, the Lord had given him deliverance. That's how you get deliverance. The Lord. But he had a problem. He was a leper. Leprosy, as you know, is a disease. And it was really a bad disease. He must have had the beginnings of leprosy, not the last stages, because they had certain places where they sent the lepers. So he had a problem. And it was a physical problem. He had an ailment that was bad, real bad. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. I love this. It's a little maid, not a big old maid. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but this particular maid was what? Little. You get the picture? Little maid. Out of the land of Israel, a little maid. Okay. So they got this woman who's a believer, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So she was like Naaman's wife's, you know, she did all the stuff for her. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him out of his leprosy. Wow, this little maid making a suggestion to the wife of this Naaman about a prophet who would deliver this man of his leprosy. And one went in, and boy, watch how screwed up this is. And you know, it's not unlike today and not unlike us. I'm not going to point a big finger and go, you know, how screwed up they are. I mean, they make mistakes here, but so do we. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Wait. What did the little maid say? There's a prophet. He could deliver this guy of his leprosy. Now, all of a sudden, we got kings and political and all kinds of stupid stuff. Boy, this is what happened to the world in the first place. Consider change, Adam, it. She's talking about a prophet. Now he's going to take all this money, I guess is over $500,000, and send it to this king. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now you imagine this king. This king wasn't a prophet. This king wasn't the person that the little maid was talking about. Not at all. This is the king. He gets this letter, and he thinks, Oh my God, they want me to heal this Naaman. They're giving me all this money. Ay, ay, ay. So, let's keep reading. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes. He was upset. He said, Am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He's doing this to set me up, and now I can't do it, and then he's going to shoot me or something, you know? This is the way the world works. All they need to do is read the word. And it was so. Verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent him money so he could buy him. No. I don't know how he heard this. I don't know if God told him or somebody told him, but he heard it, that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So what a wonderful man of God. He's taking the pressure off of the king. He's saying, Send him to me. And the result of him being sent to me, he's going to know there's a man of God. So he didn't say anything about healing him. Didn't say any of that. So don't imply it, but that's what he said. So Naaman came. Now it's his turn. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And you know, in the lands and times of the Bible, they didn't have doorbells, of course. You know that, right? No doorbells. But they would call the person. They would say, Hey! There's a record in Acts where Peter gets out of jail and they're praying, and the little damsel, he's out there yelling, Hey! You know, but they're inside praying, you know, they're praying for Peter's deliverance. They got pictures of Peter preaching, and, you know, they got a good mind picture of Peter. But back to here, Elisha, the man of God, he'd heard that the king rent his clothes, so he did this, and this man, Naaman, came with his horses, with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. So Naaman, who we know was a captain of the host of the king, he was a great man with his master, he was honorable, he was a mighty man in valor, he was a big shot guy. He comes and He says, hey, prophet, I don't know if he knew his name, Mr. Elisha, or whatever he said, hey! And Elisha sent a messenger to him. He just sat at his table, probably, or at his couch, or whatever he was doing. And he said, he sent the messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Here we have the word of the Lord. He says to Rick Gerlach, or somebody like me, go tell him this, and he's going to be healed. But Naaman went to see Elisha, not his messenger. Let's see how he responds to this. And Elisha sent a messenger and told him what to do. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That's the word of the Lord. But when Naaman heard this from the messenger, he was mad. He was wroth. He was PO'd. And he went away and he said, behold, I thought he would surely come up and stand and call on the name of his Lord, strike his hand over the place, recover the leper. He had it all figured out. He had it all figured out, the scenario, the way it was going to be, how it was going to happen. He had it all figured out. But God had a different idea than his figuring. He had a different idea than Naaman's 5 senses. He expected Elisha to come and say, whoa, good to see you, Nathan. In the name of God, our Father, healed. No, sorry, no show, Jack. He sent a messenger and told him what to do. And instead of being blessed to know that he'd be healed of his leprosy, he was pissed. He was mad. So, let's see how it goes here. I thought he would do this. I thought he'd call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He's going, aren't these waters a lot cleaner, a lot more beautiful, pristine, beautiful? And in fact, they were. He wanted it his way. He wanted the nice show. Yeah. Sometimes we want the nice show too. We have it figured out in our minds how God's going to do something for us, when in fact God might have an entirely different way to get to the solution other than my way. It says something about that somewhere, about my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and all that stuff, doesn't it? May I not wash in them and be clean? Can't I go to Abana and Pharpar? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Here, who went to who for help? I've had so many people in the past get mad at me when they come for me to help and I tell them what the word says, or I tell them what I know God says to say. And then they get mad. Well, I'm not the one with the problem. At least in those cases, I've got plenty. But if I go to Joe or Steve or Bob or somebody or Michael or Diane, you know, they give me the word and that's that. End of story. Otherwise, why am I going to them for help? I didn't like that, so I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to wait until somebody tells me exactly what I want to hear, and then I don't get any better, but I get worse. By the way, that record, and I should have read it, about Asa, he ended up having problems with diseased feet, and he never went to God, but he went to all the physicians, and they could do nothing. But here, he's furious. Who has leprosy, Elisha or Naaman? Naaman. He has the need, but he's thinking a banner or a Pharpar or whatever these rivers are. He's thinking, big show. Come out and, you know, whatever you do. That's not how our God works, unless God would tell you to do something like that. And you know that. So he turned and he went away in a rage. Now, you think he got healed by doing that? What good does it do for you to get all mad when you hear what God wants you to do? What good does it do anyone? And his servants came near. This is Naaman's servants, and they had some sense to him. And they spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? They must have been on good talking terms, which tells me something about Naaman. I bet you Naaman was a really, really great man because he listened to these servants who he was over. They said, Naaman, if you'd have done some great thing, you'd have liked that. Wouldn't you have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So Naaman listened, and he went, he down, and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And, we've heard it taught, and it's certainly true. After the 3rd time, he wasn't any cleaner. After the 4th time, he wasn't cleaner. That's what people think, but that's not it. It was that 7th time healed, because that was the word of the Lord. It wasn't, it looks a little better today. Looks a bit better today. You do that with hangnails and stuff or headaches or whatever. Oh, that's a little better. If it doesn't get better, you start worrying and think you have cancer. We are so riddled with commercials and social media and everything else that tells you how damn sick you are, you forget about how healthy you are. No one here is dead. That's nice, isn't it? So he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing, an offering, a gift of thy servant. But Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, whom I stand, I'm not going to receive one. But he urged him to take it, but he refused. The reason he refused is because God told him not to take it. That's why. God told him, don't do it. So man, how many times or how much money or anything else, don't do it. And he didn't. So finally, the whole purpose of this record, he got healed. He got so mad he couldn't see. He couldn't see straight. Because he had it all figured out in his brain how this was all going to happen. Well, it's just like us sometimes. Once Naaman got around to following, once he got around to believing, once he got around to trusting and obeying the word of God, he got delivered. We fight God's word too often. If we're to see God's word come to pass, we have to receive God's word with tremendous meekness and expectation and readiness of mind. I don't know it all. I don't know much. And that's not the point of any of it. It's not how much you know. When we got our assignments many, many years ago in 1979, we were in a leadership program. And we were assigned certain places around the country and stuff to do fellowships or work on staff or whatever. I was assigned as a state coordinator of the state of Georgia. And after he read off all the assignments of us, he said, if any of you have a problem with this or a question, I'll be around the fireplace, the campfire. And I had a problem with it. I really had a problem with it. My problem was, well, he asked me, what's the problem? I said, Dr. Worrell, I don't know how to run a limb. I didn't want to do it because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to do a limb. I didn't know how to do a state. I didn't know how to oversee. So I told him, I don't know. He said 2 things. He said, can you pray? I said, yes, sir. And he said, can you believe? And I said, yes, sir. And ever since that day, Those two things I know I can do, and I do. I love to pray, and I love to believe God, because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In my five senses brains, that's nothing. There's nothing. It's an empty show. But I know my Father, and I know He loves me, and He forgives me, and I pray. And I do my best to believe. And I'll never forget those things as long as I live. But if we're going to see God's word come to pass, we have to come with a great deal of meekness and readiness and expectation, believing. Then we hold fast to it in our hearts. The greatest pay I ever have gotten in my life is watching people grow with God. That blesses me more than anything that anybody could ever throw at me. Whether I had anything to do with it or not, I could care less. But to see people like you grow, you know, get healed or get so like what Rick was sharing about the house getting, that's fantastic. That's a miracle. You know, there's not anything great or small, all to me when people grow. It makes everything that I do worth it, and then some. You could never pay me for this, but my pay is watching people like you grow. God says in His Word in 3 John 4, He has no greater joy than to hear that His children walk in the truth. You know what that means? You believe the Word. That's what blesses God more than anything, not your great knowledge of the Scriptures. I'm so sick and tired of people and their egos with all that stuff. It drives me nuts. You can have it. But simple believing, walking in love. Oh, my gosh. God wants to hear that His people walk in the truth. I got nothing against learning. I have a lot against flaunting what you learn and making it as boring as watching a fly crawl up a damn drape. I'm sick of that. I never liked it anyway. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It says in Psalm 37, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Many times, and I don't really know what that verse means, the desires of your heart. I don't know if it's desires you already had, or godly desires. But I think of Philippians 2:13 when I think of that verse, that it's God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure. To me, it's the same. I delight in being able to walk with God. Let's close in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm so blessed to be with you, and I'm so blessed to be able to do things like this that might assist somebody in believing. You know, God's word. The fellowship is fantastic. The love is fantastic. Pour it on. Give. Look for ways to bless others this week. And God will open those doors for you. And maybe then you'll even get what you need. So many times I get what I need by giving and not thinking about what I need. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 30. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy body, wow, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as He rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken, which means listen or obey, or follow. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God just wants us to be blessed in our own lives. He wants us to be blessed in the things that we do, the things that we produce. And all we need to do is hear what He has to say and follow, listen, hearken, obey, believe, whatever you want to call it, trust, have confidence in his word. So that's what I wanted to share. Father, thank you so much for I don't know how many records are in your word, Father, that just show this time and time again. It's so fun to read and to see how people succeeded, and also when people didn't, why they didn't. And we pray that we can succeed in our believing because we'll trust in you and not go by our senses. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day that you'll replenish everyone's sleep and just make it a great, great week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.